Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Whole Scoop Radio with your host, Carol Ferraci, your health and wellness resource, where you get the whole scoop and nothing but the scoop.
Hey, everybody. We're so glad to be back. We took a little bit of time off there for a while, so thank you for hanging in there with us. We are back. We are The Whole Scoop Radio, health and wellness on Blog Talk Radio. If you're just the first-time listener tuning into the wonderful topic we have tonight, you're in luck because it's going to be fabulous. But just so you know, our goal in this program is to present different opinions for different kinds of things and to allow you, the listener, to be informed and to be able to make informed decisions about what is the right health approach for you. I am Carol Ferraci, a registered licensed dietitian. Not even going to tell you how long I've been practicing, and founder of Naturally Nutrition. You can check me out at naturallynutritioninc.com. So one of the reasons, the biggest reason that we do this show is so that I can provide you qualified guests, and those guests always must always, it's the stipulation for being on this show, they have to be credentialed in the topics in which we discuss. So you are getting that wonderful plethora of knowledge from our educated guests. Tonight, we're talking about enhancing your health with massage. And we are so very fortunate because we're welcoming back one of our favorites and one of our favorite massage therapists. She is fabulous, and I'm so glad that she's back. She got really busy there for a while. I got really busy for a while. The whole scoop was busy, you know, one of those things. That's how life is, and we're just thrilled to have her back. So I'll tell you about her in a minute, but I got to get through the business. I'm going to remind you that while our guests are highly credentialed on the topics we discuss, it's always recommended to seek medical advice prior to implementing any and all interventions discussed on this program. The call-in number is 347-855-8894. That's 347-855-8894. You can also direct questions and comments to us on the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group page, which is the whole, and we also have the wholescoopradio.com. So the questions and comments on the Whole Scoop Blog Talk Radio group, and we'll try to get to those live if we can, and if not, we'll definitely make sure we get back to everybody. And we'd like to hear from you on that. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you want to hear, what you haven't heard. All that stuff. And remember us on Facebook. See that we have a Whole Scoop page. We have the blog talk page. 347-855-8894. You can call in and listen to the show as well. Call in on that number. Just listen. And if you want to ask it, we will be taking questions later. If you want to ask a question, you press the number 1 to get in the queue. That lets me know that you have a question. And at that time, I will call out the last 4 digits of your telephone number so that you know that you are on the air. And we're just going with that, we can get back to you. Gosh, I'm so glad she's back. Joanne Ficaney is with us. She is a licensed massage therapist. She's founded her own massage business in Central Florida since 1989. She's completed many, many advanced programs in the area of massage therapy. Her mission is to assist her patients with their healing and maintenance processes while striving to meet their ever-changing needs by continuing to enhance her skills and with advanced training. The list of certifications that Joanne has, in addition to just her basic knowledge, is just phenomenal, and I'll just name some of them. Structural energetic therapy, core 10 sessions, structure integration, lymphatic drainage, pre-post-operative massage, sports massage, oncology recovery massage, medical massage, cranial sacral therapy. She's gotten a National Humanitarian Award. She's gotten humanitarian awards for the state of Florida. She's gotten Disney Awards. It's amazing. And she was also just recently the massage therapist for the Orlando Magic. I mean, it doesn't get any better than Joanne. She's just fabulous. So let's just say hi to her. Hey, Joanne, are you with us?
Sure. Hi.
Hi. Thanks so much for coming back. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Yeah. Listen, we got a lot to talk about tonight. enhancing your health and health with massage. You know, in looking at things, I've been pretty fortunate to be surrounded by people like you that taught me well about massage. And I can't, you more so than anybody can attest to the fact that it wasn't always that way. So I'm just going to kind of outline some of the things for the people who are listening, and what kinds of things massage can do or can enhance. And I think they're going to be amazed. Things like anxiety, digestive disorders, fibromyalgia, headaches, insomnia related to stress, myofascial pain syndrome, soft tissue strains or injuries, sports injuries, temporomandibular joint pain. And it just goes on. And it just is amazing to me. That's just the very, very tip of the iceberg, is it not?
Yeah, they're even doing research now with brain injuries and everything like that with massage therapy. And I just found out that the veterans, they're starting to open it up and put massage therapists in the vet hospitals to have codes and be able to help the vets out instead of going to pain pills to do for pain management.
Nice. It's about time they started looking at that. I mean, it's so true. It's amazing. And just for the simple fact that there may be people who are kind of tuning in going, so what is massage? Why does that help? I mean, you know, so you give me a massage. Everybody's familiar with a massage, but the type of massage that you do or the type of massage that's specifically related to these conditions can change, right? It just depends on what you're treating, or maybe treating is not a great word to use. Maybe enhancing, is that a better word?
Yeah, probably, definitely. It's, you're not going to, with the massage therapist and everything, different states have different, whether they're just, I don't mean just in the sense that education is different. I just mean the state recognizes them different. So you have a certified massage therapist. You have a registered massage therapist, meaning they're registered with the state. And then you have a licensed massage therapist. And then we also even have a national certification that has their own registry for massage therapy. So they can be pretty much anywhere, but they still have to be in with their state that they live in also. So when you're dealing with those different types of peers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. When you go into those different tiers, then what comes up is being able to ask the right questions, which I think goes with pretty much anything, whether it's your medical doctor, your counselor, your psychologist, your psychiatrist. You want to be able to ask the right questions to make sure you're getting the person that fits best for you. And having a therapist, well, in the state of Florida, we'll say a licensed massage therapist, so an LMT, then the questions you're asking are going to be about things that have come up for you or that you've finished your physical therapy, PT, for, and now you're kind of in this gray area where you haven't got a bend fully in your knee yet, or you haven't gotten a full straightening in your knee yet, and you're like, where do I go now? And so you can find medical massage or sports massage or athletic massage, and a lot of times they're really knowledgeable to be able to help you. And sometimes they're in the office with the physical therapist too.
But let's just talk. I mean, I would think that people can get a little confused on this because as a society, we have a tendency to just kind of like go, a massage therapist is a massage therapist, kind of like a dietitian is a dietitian, and that's not true. You know, one thing we don't do is say a doctor is a doctor. You know, we see a cardiologist,
right.
We see, an orthopod. We see all those different people, and we realize that we wouldn't see an orthopod for an ears, nose, and throat situation. So we realize that, but we don't realize that we would some people would see a dietitian as like, you know, hey, let me just lose weight or teach me what to cook or something. When in fact, most of us have multiple certifications in specific areas, and we really don't do everything that everybody thinks. And the same thing holds true with you guys, in that, you know, you have different types, different levels. I mean, the certifications that you hold are just absolutely phenomenal, and they outnumber just about anybody and everybody. And let me tell you firsthand, guys, if you are wanting someone with the knowledge base that really can get right to the problem with you, I mean, just amazingly right to the problem, Joanne is your person. I know that firsthand. So and we'll give out her information a little bit on how to get in touch with her. But that's true, though, right? I mean, you specialize in more of a medical massage, and then there are massage therapists who just are kind of like not that they're not important, but they do the relaxation massage or something that most people have tended to equate massage with, and they don't really go into the medical area with massage. So I want to talk about that tonight a little bit, the differences of the types of massage and what you should look for with the person performing that for you.
Right. Well, thank you for the compliment, too. And the state of Florida is really lucky because we've had so much education that's available. We have high educators in this state. So there's a lot of availability for education for therapists. There's no excuse for furthering beyond your basic massage therapy program once you've graduated and gotten your license. So from there, usually on their cards or when you call and ask, you can find out what types of therapy they are doing, meaning in the sense of that they do relaxation, we'll call it Swedish massage, or whether they do a broad explanation. They'll say deep tissue massage, which really doesn't say anything about what they're doing. And you have to ask so many more questions there. And then you have things like neuromuscular therapy, NMT, lymphatic drainage, craniosacral therapy, and then cancer, dealing with cancer, oncology massage, and then getting into the sports and athletics and medical, like you were saying, and structural integration. So a lot of the franchise kind of massage studios will have their therapists that do signature massage, and it's a basic routine. They're not really allowed to get pretty deep or too specific into areas, so they don't want to be liable for anything. And then sometimes they'll have like a menu where you can pick off the menu. And a lot of people, once they've tried a type of work, then they find that certain ones fit for their, whether it's their personality, their injury, or their health problems they're having, then they seem to gravitate towards that type of massage. And that's why I had broadened so many certifications, because I was finding that I didn't want to be in a category of just one type of massage, because people shift and change. You might have a fibromyalgia person that can't handle structure integration, but then you'll have somebody that has a sports injury, and if you go and just rub oil on them, or we'll say cream, they're going to think you're like not even doing anything. So there are definitely different levels for different patients.
Well, the interesting thing is that, I can, it's so much easier now because you can do so much research on the internet. But like you can even take me, for example, when I was looking, how I found you, and, you know, full disclosure, I found you as a massage therapist years ago, because of the, and this is really showing my age, the telephone book. But here's what I found in the telephone book, trying to figure this out and having no clue that there was a difference in massage or anything. I guess that would be the equivalent today of Googling massage. And I haven't tried it because I really don't want all the stuff that might come with it. But in the phone book, when you used to do that and you look up massage, you would have massages like for men by men, for men only, for women only, come feel the difference. And you know, if you're sick like I was, like I was recommended to have massage by a physical therapist because my pain level was so high that they couldn't help me anymore. And, you know, my mind went 1,000 miles a minute trying to figure it out. And then there was this little – I love telling this story about you. There was this teeny tiny little advertisement in the phone book, and in comparison to the for men, by men, women only kind of stuff, they, you know, they were big plastered ads. That's the only thing you saw all over the pages. It's kind of like a neon sign. And in the middle of that was this little thing that said medical massage, and I don't remember all the words you used, but it was like to the point. That's and I knew that's what I needed. And I called you, and I kept you on the phone for quite a while asking you questions because, frankly, I was freaked out. I was seeing this for men, by men, for women only, this, and this. And I'm thinking, what is this about? And I really didn't know. And you were fabulous. You were fabulous from the get-go. You explained. You took your time. And then even after I came in, I'm sure you could share some things that I'd prefer that you didn't. And you know, my apprehension about that even afterwards. So, you know, why I'm telling everybody this is because it is normal to be apprehensive about something you don't know and you don't understand. And it's also much easier today when you can get on and you can Google, but you also have to know how to decipher that information. And that's what I'd like Joanne to talk about a little bit more. On how to decipher that information so you can make good informed decisions. So it's kind of like going to a doctor, right, Joanne? Like I said earlier, you're not going to see an orthopedic surgeon for an ears, nose, and throat situation. So how does somebody find somebody like you? What are the keywords they should be looking for? And then when they finally find somebody like you, what do they ask you?
Right. So in my office, we have our office manager that actually any new patients will actually field them. And that means in the sense of we'll answer basic questions about asking them, well, what are you looking for? What are you needing help with? And then they're able to answer their questions about what's going on with them that they're wanting to share at that point. But our office, I do have a medical doctor in there. So in that sense, we have a OSHA, so we have to be careful about, what is it, Carol, with the...
the HIPAA?
Yeah, thank you, HIPAA. Wrong one. So with the HIPAA, of how much, you know, so I'm kind of trained of not giving too much information when I'm talking about a patient and stuff, so I'm trying to just break that ice right now as I'm talking to you, but...
Sure.
So when we go through that and everything like that, then once they come in, I think it's like being the therapist is being able to unfold the person through the intake form of reading about what's going on with them, what their ideas already are about massage or not, and then running them, not fastly, I don't mean it running quickly, I just mean hitting bullet points about how this will all go down. One of the big things that I tell patients is that you don't have to take, it's not like you're going to be standing in front of me with all your clothes off and then getting you on a table. I work with wherever they are in their level of comfort, clothes-wise even, much less that they're under a flannel sheet that's heavier, not see-through. The lights are lower so they can be comfortable and the music is soft. And just that atmosphere, building that trust with a patient, I feel is super important also. So once we get through that and I'm able to answer their questions and kind of help them understand from where their pain is, how we're able to help, and then not being, you know, not trying to tell them we're going to cure everything in one visit, but giving them optimistic goals on how this might go. And it runs more like as a PT would run, of setting goals, evaluating the situation, and then getting them on the table to start working them. And then you have your minutes. So the minutes run, you know, most offices are, I will say, spa related or chain type massage studios will do a 50 minute, an 80 minute treatment. And in my office, because I'm old school, I do 60 minute treatment, 90 minute treatment, and 120 minute treatment. And sometimes I even go longer. Their first session with me is always 2 hours because I think it takes you a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes just to go through where they are and building that trust up of me, making sure I have enough information to evaluate what type of work we're going to do and what that will be like for them.
Well, and I can attest firsthand that you just have the unique, uncanny ability to just see right through to the person that's standing in front of you. You could have 10 people lined up in a room, and the one person that you're working on, you have the ability to kind of get right in and start asking the right questions and putting that person in a place where you just immediately let them know that you are tuned in and that you are listening and that it is about that person. It's not about the other 9 people standing in line because you're looking at that person. When you say 2 hours, you really do mean 2 hours. And it's a 2 full hours of just you with that person. I could probably line up 10 people who can attest to everything I've just said and would be happy to do it, and they'd find 10 people and they would find 10 more people, et cetera, about you. So I'll just give one little example in that I had a friend who had a regular session with a massage therapist and did what she considered to be deep tissue, as you said, and really kind of worked some things out and helped her for a long, long time and continues to help her today. But could not work out the area that she needed to work on the most and just kept it. Basically, she stayed in pain. And I said, well, you know, massage therapists are different. We went through the whole thing. And I said, you need to get in touch with Joanne. And she did. And she called me and thanked me profusely because you were the only person after years of her staying in pain who could literally get to the area in one session. So why I say this is because you really are a fabulous massage therapist because you've worked so hard, and it's because you've given the dedication and the time necessary to learn what you need to learn, but yet apply it in a manner that's personal. So that's what makes you unique. And those are the kinds of qualities that I would recommend to anybody to find. And I would challenge every single person out there, wherever you are, to look for qualities like that. You're never going to find another Joanne unless you get to Joanne. But you'll find somebody that can do a really good job. So that all being said, I think we need to move on. Let's talk about some of the areas that you focus on. Let's talk about you mentioned fibromyalgia a little bit, but let's talk about cancer. Let's talk about why massage can help in cancer. Like, who would think that, you know? Let's talk about why it's important for someone who just had surgery to have massage afterwards. Let's get into that a little bit.
Sure. The interesting thing with cancer and massage is getting the approval through the doctor of letting them know, look, I have a therapist, or I'm looking to have massage therapy as a part of my treatment or my care. And they will, they're pretty apt, in at least in the state of Florida, of understanding the benefits of massage therapy with their patients. And I can attest to it, even in the sense of not just even working cancer patients, but also to my mother. And so and I worked closely with her oncologist, and she was like, I want her worked on as soon as we get done. We'll still have a drainage tube in her, which I was shocked she even let me work with the drainage. Most of the time it's once everything's closed up, there's no more drainage coming out. Everything is closed back, meaning the stitched up from the drainage tube and everything. And sometimes even the doctor won't release them for other types of therapy until they're even all the way through their radiation or chemotherapy or just chemotherapy by itself. And my mom's gynecologist, which have been several now, I would say in the 90s, no, it wasn't going on. But after 2010, 12, right there, it was like they were getting more educated on the benefits of massage therapy, oncology massage. And one thing would be the lymphatic drainage of it and being able to, one of the questions they ask a lot of times when they're in chemotherapy is going to be how their hands and their feet are feeling. And that's because the medicine will a lot of times settle down in the hands and feet. So they're looking for signs of pain, numbness, heaviness, the circulation. So they're looking at their fingers for circulation. And so massage therapy is something that's non-invasive that can be used as a treatment, whether it's even just a half an hour, much less 45 minutes to an hour of treatments or even post-treatments. And I'm talking, I've had patients even up to 2 years, 3 years they do a mark, 5 years they do a mark, 7 years they do a mark. And I get them even that far out and have made shift and changes in their bodies, whether it's around the scar or dealing with their breast cancer and having full mastectomies and then having implants put in. And that's a whole process. And so going through that with them is a lot of times very beneficial for their bodies. And what was the other one you asked me about, you mentioned?
Did you get it? No.
I got cancer.
And yeah, I kind of got lost there. I was listening intently to what you're saying. I'm like, okay, what else do we need to talk about? But we're talking, you know, it's just fascinating to me because there was a time when you guys as massage therapists, well, first of all, I'm going to come back to that because I know what I asked you, but I want to say this to people. When I first met you, Joanne, and I would say to you, oh, you're a masseuse, you would like want to climb the walls at me. And every time that I see, like, I watch a movie or something or another and somebody's talking about their masseuse, now I want to climb the walls because I know what the difference is. The difference is that you can get a masseuse and you can feel really, you know, nice and fluffy afterwards. But when you're talking about the things that Joanne just talked about, and you're talking about actually the lymphatic drainage and why, let's just talk about what lymphatic drainage is for a second so then I can circle back and make this point. I'll make it now, but then I'll hone in on it in a minute. But when you're talking about lymphatic drainage versus a masseuse, the masseuse is going to say, hey, let me make you feel good, and the massage therapist is going to be, hey, let me help you get well again. So there's like two totally different types of scenarios there. And then there are the ones in the middle that kind of do some of it, but not really all of it. And then there are some that think they're doing it, that don't necessarily do it. But, you know, it's so important, because when you say that you get people that far out from a breast cancer surgery, what you're really saying is that they were stagnated to the point where their bodies were blocked and they weren't healing even 5 years out. So what you've done by performing what you do and the lymphatic drainage, which is what I want you to talk about and explain, you put them on the path of actually healing. So I really want to make that point, because that's what the show is about.
So I'll give you an example of a patient I had that I had her 7 years post one right breast mastectomy, and it was back, her surgery was back in 2001. And I got her 7 years after that. And after she had, right before she had had her cancer show up, the way they found it was because she had had a lung problem, and they had went in and put a, which was very invasive, all the way from the back shoulder blade around to the front rib area, which now they go between the ribs. But this time, you know, this is back in the day. So they opened up her whole rib cage, cleaned out the lung, closed her back up. And 2 months later, she ended up with a really bad infection in her lung again. They had to go back in, put a drain, clean it all back out again, put a drain in her, put her on major antibiotics. And when they were checking back with an MRI and CAT scan to see how her lungs were doing, they found the breast cancer. And so then she had a mastectomy. So here she's in 3 years, had had three major things happen to her with one breast, right lung. So it was pretty crazy. So it, of course, took her a long time to heal. And so this 7 year clean from her breast cancer, she had been having extreme pain, sleeping at night, not able to, only being able to sleep in one area that didn't kill her, her rib, her back, her shoulder, her breast. And then when she would be through the day taking a walk or anything, she couldn't even breathe very deep because her lung had so much scar tissue that she was not able to breathe very deep either. So then she had, because this breath was so short, the diaphragm wasn't able to expand so much, she was actually having like a very short of breath type of thing going on. So when I got in and started working with her, she came in thinking she was coming in for lymphatic drainage that her doctor had referred her for. We started her with that. I found the big scar along the whole back. She's only telling me about her breast cancer. And I see the scar going around the whole back, knowing that, okay, that doesn't look like something for a mastectomy in the back here. So I ask her what's going on with the scar. She tells me what's happened and that she hasn't slept very well since she's had that surgery. I clear the whole area out and clean up some of the scar tissue, which went outside the script that her doctor sent her for, but I explained why I thought it would help be helpful for her, and let's go ahead and add it to it. If it doesn't do anything and you want to stick with just the breast, we'll go back to it next time, no problem. The very next day, I get a call from her, and she's like, she was crying on the phone and telling me that she had slept for the first time all the way through the night with no pain. And I've known her over, 15 years now, and she's never talked about not being able to sleep.
Wow. Yeah, I'm not surprised. If anybody else is surprised out there, it's because you haven't met Joanne yet. So I'm not surprised. I'm just always in awe of the things that you do. And
I really feel that when you have a therapist, one of the things that's really big is that I don't feel like I'm here to keep you coming in every month, and or I'm there to come in if there's an issue, like your friend you're talking about that I had help with her shoulder. Once we got that out of there, I'm like, all right, because she didn't even live in my area. I'm like, get back to your other therapist. She knows what she's doing with everything else. She just needed a little help with something that I was able to specialize in, get it out of there. Now go back to her. You're doing great with her. So I'm really more about let's get something out of the way, get back to your regular routine. If something else comes up, then come back in. Well, there are people that love it, so they want to keep it in their routine. But I like it when people are better. They're out living their life. They're out traveling. They're out having a great time. And then only if they hurt themselves from skiing and snowboarding at 57 and breaking a collarbone. And then they're like, Joanne, I'm sorry. I was really stupid. You're not going to believe what I did. I need to see you. I get it because they're out having a blast.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Well, I mean, that also speaks well to you because, you know, other therapists out there are more apt to refer to you when they're blocked, when they know you're going to give them back, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, so, and rightfully so. Because I wouldn't refer to you as a therapist if I knew you were just going to take that person away from me. But at the same time, you know, I'm not perfect. So I would love to refer to you if I know that, you know, you and I could work that out. And you do. So that's great. Now, let me ask you this.
And I do the same thing. I have.
Yeah.
I do the same thing, too. I have a therapist down the road from me that I know had this really bad trigger finger thing going on. And although I do, it's just not something that, it's not my best work is doing trigger finger work. And you have to spend a lot of, week after week after week. And I'm booked 3-4 months out of the time. And so I'm not able to get them in as much attention they would need for like a trigger finger. And so I sent them to this girl down the road that's certified. We've done classes together. She's been in over 20 years. I know she's very reliable. I send them down to her because I know because she's had it before and because she's fixed it, she knows what she's doing with that and she has time to be able to take care of them. So there's a group of us, we know when we want something who we're referring to.
Right. That's great. And it really doesn't get any better than that. And the things that you guys can accomplish for people are just amazing. There's so many things to talk about. We never have enough time on this show, but let's just talk about simple digestive disorders. And then I want to talk about the risks of massage, if there are any, okay?
Okay.
We do digestive disorders. How does massage enhance digestion?
So with massage therapy and just even working circulate, so doing simple strokes of working circulation, getting more blood flow in through to – so I actually do a whole tummy trunk session. And I cover the breast up. They wear their underwear, so they have their lower half is covered. And then I have a, you know, sheet over that, too. And they have a pillow under the knees so their stomach isn't stretched out too far, so it's softer. And there's as simple as doing a colon coming through and flushing the colon, which would run under more like Thai work and Swedish massage back in the old day. I don't know if they still teach it like that, though. And then there's a technique that I learned from acupuncture and Thai, which is pulling the stomach down. So helping, which back in the day, we'll say in the 90s, 80s and 90s, there was a lot more men with this, with the acid reflux and the hiatal hernias. And so instead of taking so much medicine, trying to keep food down and everything like that, I would add a technique to help them to be able to have a better digestive. And now in the 2000, I'd say I learned probably about 2012 about how 80% of your autoimmune is from your gut. So to me, working the digestive tract and working the abdominal region and making sure the bladder's doing good. Not that I massage the bladder, but you know what I mean in that general area. But that they understand how well is their bladder doing. And some people don't even realize they have leakage or that their bladder infections. Yeah, no, you're not supposed to have bladder infections. No, you're not supposed to have kidney infections. There's something going on there. You need to get to the doctor. And so having that extra defense of someone talking to you, whether it's even about their uterus and young, you know, girls and their menstrual cycles and too much blood or not enough blood because they're working out so much, or menopause.
Wow. So interesting though. Are there risks to having a massage done?
Sure. So, you know, them too close after surgery, not being released by their doctor, having staples, and all of a sudden you've got somebody trying to drain through an open wound. Not good at all. Somebody that has shingles. I have a patient right now. She is crying because it's been 3 weeks. She is in a lot of pain though right now. So I know now she wouldn't even want me even near her, but, you know, you've definitely got to go work on somebody with shingles. And then I always tell people, if you're sick to go to work, then you're too sick to come to me. So, you know, if your autoimmune is low and you've got a cold, or you're just getting over bronchitis or pneumonia, or you just got out of the hospital 2 days ago, then no, massage is, it's because you're pumping that lymphatic, you're moving that circulation, and you can actually get those antibodies and your white blood cells are sitting there, and you're there, oh, we're fighting this. Oh, now you want us to flush all of that. It's just not too much going on at once for somebody.
Yeah. Well, and then it ultimately comes back on you when, in fact, it really is about where the person is when they come in and what gets done and how well they're scrutinized by somebody in your position, right?
Right. And I would say also, even teeth work. I've had people come in after teeth work and, you know, our major gum, they have stitches in their mouth and everything. And I'm like, and why are you here today? I'm like, why aren't you in bed? So are you wanting me to work on your feet? What's going on here? Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I had one come in one time and she had a patch on her eye. And I'm like, what's going on with your eye? I just had cataract surgery. I'm like, you're not getting this. I said, didn't your doctor tell you that you're not allowed to be face down or on your side, that you don't have pressure up near your head? Yeah, he did. I'm like, well, what do you think I'm going to be doing? So it's like, no, we're not working on you today. It's like, you make sure your doctor understands some of the things you're doing that, hey, can I go back to get my regular massages I get? And more than likely he would say, no, you need to wait until I see you and release you.
Yeah, but, you know, here's the thing, Joanne, as funny as that might be, if they had gone to the wrong person, she may have had that massage and then there may have been extenuating circumstances and adverse effects. Effects. So it's real important that people know who's touching them. I mean, let's just be real. You got to know who's touching you. You got to trust who's touching you, and you sure shouldn't show up for your first one and trying to figure out who the person is that's about to touch you after any kind of surgery or any kind of medical procedure until you know that it's safe for you to do that, or unless you have somebody like Joanne that's going to know that and tell you, you need to go home until it's okay to come, you know? So I think we should make that point because, again, we get into massage is massage, and it's not. And it can. Okay, so let's just take that scenario. What if you had worked on her? What could have happened?
So the actually her whole surgery for her eye could have gone bad. I mean, I have never done it, so I, you know, like I made sure I
no,
stopped
I
her right
that.
Then
but
with
I,
that though.
I'm
but
talking, yeah, I'm just talking in general terms. So let's say she's lying face down and she's not
so,
supposed to.
Yeah, so it's too much pressure on her for her eye. The stitches behind it, if they were lasered. it can totally pull off the retin-A. And so, yeah, you can have a whole nother procedure might have to happen, or they have to go on antibiotics now, because I say the big one is my patients now understand and know, if you're feeling like you're getting sick, they'll usually text me, hey, I just need to let you know. I had one last week, and she's a doctor actually too. And she's like, look, I had strep throat last week, and this is 2 days before her appointment with me. She's like, I really want my session, but I looked in the back of my throat and I still have white spots back there. So I get on the text and I'm like, yep, no, I'm not going to see you. So we have to cancel our appointment and move it, because it's like, your body is still healing. It needs that time.
Right.
You know, and it, especially if they're not off their antibiotics and everything, I say, just call the doctor, call the PA, call the nurse. You know, leave a message with them. They'll call you right back, or they'll call you by the next day to let you know, yes, you're totally fine to go in. No, you're not contagious. No, it's not going to cause any more ill effects for you to be able to get a treatment done.
Yeah. Wow. That's amazing. But it's a compliment, too, because most people who have you know how well you help them, so they hate missing it, you know? So you have to look at it from that perspective, too. And because you're difficult to get in with, because you are so good. So they hate missing it, because they know that they're kind of out of luck until the next one's booked, you know? So it just depends. But the thing about this is, the another point that I really kind of wanted to make was, you kind of touched on this, where you fix it and they leave, or you help them, you know, move forward. But there are times when certain things call for a protocol, and that protocol might mean a number of sessions. Can you think of anything that you know might fall into that category and explain the difference as to why you may need? Because some people may be thinking, well, you know, then if they tell me that I have to come back, then they might just be wanting my money. But there are reasons for that, correct?
Yeah. So I like a lot of times I'll say, we're going to do the first one. Let's say they came in for plantar fasciitis, which is a tightness in the tendons on the bottom of the feet going to the heel area. And a lot of times we used to only see it around 50s and older. Now we're starting to see it even in the 30s, but definitely more so in the 40s now, which is very unusual. And we even have better shoes. So I don't understand what's going on, that it's coming up so much now, but we are seeing a lot of it now. And so they'll come in, and they pretty much have already been diagnosed. The doctor had them in PT, or has said, why don't you try a massage and see how you do with that? So there's actually a protocol for like carpal tunnel, plantar fasciitis, and I'll have them have one session. We'll see if they're able to what pain level they're able to handle of how tight this tendon is and opening the foot. But it's not even just the foot. It's all the way from the shin, the knee. Sometimes it can even be coming from the hip, but I definitely start quad, the front of the legs, the whole lower leg, shin area and calf, and then the foot, because the foot's going to probably be the most painful, because that's where the tendon is tight. And then going through ice protocol or heat protocol, stretches they're going to be doing once they leave the office. And then I have them call me or email me or text me in 2 days. And in that period, which I really like text or email better, then they will give me an idea of how well they did, how much pain they're in now. When they got out of bed in the morning, was it painful to get on their feet? And if it is, then I know, okay, you're going to need at least 3 to 4 sessions. But if they do great after that first session, I might do one more, just because they're like, I'd like to make sure that it's really gone. And so they'll come in for one more, just for me to really make sure and they understand everything. Because we go through so much, sometimes it's overwhelming for them to remember everything I'll have them do and what the exercises are going to be or what the heat and when did I use the ice and where do I use the heat and all that. So it's kind of cute sometimes. But then there, see, it's like a sciatica with a piriformis. I mean, you know, we sit at a desk all day. So you got people that, you know, if they're working more than 5 hours and they're sitting on the tushy, then they might have a lot of pain going through that sciatica nerve. Well, I can get the pain out and I can get the muscle relaxed that's holding that nerve and everything like that. But once they go back sitting down again, by the next day, it's going to be right back there. So a lot of times you're having to figure out how to help them retrain this pattern, get this spasm out of the muscle, and then help them understand how they can home care it so that it can stick and last longer and that they don't stay in this pattern of pain. Does that help understand what I'm talking about, what you're asking?
Yeah, absolutely, because I think what you're trying to say is that it is every issue is different, and so not all of them are treated the same, whereas they would, you know, have one session versus 3, 5, 8, whatever. So I wanted to make that point because, you know, sometimes you just don't know. So you have to be able to trust in what that person is telling you. And if it makes sense to you, then that's what you should do. But if it doesn't make sense or it doesn't feel right or it just doesn't sound like it, like, you know, like it sounds like they just want you to come back because it's the thing to do, then you should probably find somebody else. In this particular situation where you have somebody as knowledgeable as Joanne and, you know, you might have somebody that is exceptionally knowledgeable in the area that you're seeing them for, you should follow that guideline and not be afraid that they're telling you you got to come for like 8 sessions and you're thinking, no, I only really wanted 4. And I'll give you a good example on that. Just, you know, my mom, who is getting acupuncture right now for her glaucoma, she knew that she was going to have so many sessions, and they do that in a block format, and you can do so many sessions in a day. And she was saying, well, you know, I know that I'm supposed to have so many sessions, but I think I only need 5, so that's all I'm going to do. And, you know, because she's my mom, I can say to her, when did you get your degree in acupuncture? Because I really didn't know that you had one. But, you know, so then she's like, okay, well, what do you mean? And I go, well, because you're dealing with a bona fide professional here. And they're telling you what they're recommending for you and what can, you know, before you can even start to even think about seeing some results. And you've cut that back by a third. So what are you judging your opinion on? And so be careful with that. I say that to everybody because you got to be careful with that. It's not always just cut and dried cookie cutter kind of thing. And by the way, just as an adjunct, my mother is actually getting every single treatment she was scheduled to get. So she's fine. But
you're a great daughter to help her understand. So that's great.
It was like,
Right.
No, go ahead.
I will say too that the, like one of the protocols I do with the structural integration, the 10th session, I love doing those. They're really cool because you're starting with building the body back up underneath itself. So when I have a patient that has had pain and it's just like, it's not really one particular thing. So I got a little bit of a knee over on the left leg. They got a little bit of right hip stuff going on. They got some shoulder stuff going on. They get migraines every now and then. They got a left finger that's really bothering them. And you're like, okay, you're all over the board here. We need to kind of like figure out how to home this in. And then they, you know, they're at the desk for 8 hours or 12 hours a day. And you're like, okay, let's figure out how we can get your body back. Let's just restructure, get your body back up underneath you, get your chest up, get that breath in your lungs and see where you are then. And so what's really nice about doing a 10-session protocol is that you're rebuilding that body up underneath itself, getting that breath. There's a emotional and physical component to each session. There's homework with each session. And as they start feeling better, they're like, they all these pains start going away. So that's a, sometimes can be one of those ones where once I get that in them, they can snap back together with one session of just a tune-up, you know, 3 months, 6 months, even after that. So I like when they're pretty healthy and there's just pain here, pain there, then I like to do those type of work. And the other thing I wanted to say too is about the money part of it is, you know, I've been in it 30 years and I do have a lot of certificates and things like that behind with my license, but I try to keep it reasonable, but I also try to keep it where I, for the time that I give them, they've got my full attention for all that time. So they're getting everything they can from me. So I am definitely not the cheapest in town by any means and booked solid for months. But, you know, be careful of what you're picking because of a price, and they're giving you, you know, a low price and you're like, oh, you're price finding rather than experience finding. Wouldn't you say, Carol?
That's an excellent point. I'm so glad you made it because I can just boil that down into one little adage, and that's you get what you pay for. The truth is that, yeah, you're not the most expensive in town, but you're not the cheapest either. But look at all the things that you just told everybody you can do, and that's just in a very short period of time and scratching the surface with what you know. And that's only because I know you so well, and I know that you're just, you know, that you're just a plethora of information, and you know your stuff hands down. So yeah, most people can like go, oh my God, you charge that or you charge this. And then one massage from you, one, that's all it takes. And it's like, you know, I'll pay it again and I'll pay it again and I'll pay it again.
I never have anybody complain about it. Yeah. Yeah.
So, and that's exactly my point. So, okay, we just have like a few minutes left. Anybody, we've got people listening. Anybody that has any questions, now's the time to do it. And we're going to try to do them as short as possible. And I'm sorry, but we kind of got carried away there. So if you want to ask a question, press the number one. Or we'll give you the option, if you have any questions after hearing us tonight, you can go ahead and put it on the Blog Talk Radio group page, and we'll see what we can do about answering some questions later. Is that okay, Joanne?
Sure.
Okay. Well, nobody's pressing one, so maybe we'll see what comes up on the blog page. And if nothing comes up, that's okay, Joanne. You did a great job as usual, and I'm so happy to have you back. Thank you. The whole scoop is fabulous. It's just absolutely thrilled to have people like you, and we're so grateful. So thank you very, very much. We are going to be back on the 8th of August, and we will have Carol Howe, and she is a medium, I believe, and she's new to the whole scoop, so join us and see how we do. Looking forward to catching up with you guys, Joanne. I would love to have you back. There's a couple of things I'd like to do from this show. Maybe kind of that 10-session approach. Maybe take some examples from that so we can teach people exactly how massage can restructure the body and put it back together. I think that would be a fabulous show. So think about that. Everybody
okay.
else, we're going to say goodnight. Joanne, you did not give out your contact information. We've got to do that before we go. You want me to do it or are you going to do it?
I can do it for you. It's Joanne Fekenny, F-E-K-A-N-Y. Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-L-M-T @gmail.com is my email. And my cell number is 407-257-5866.
And since you were nice to do that, I'll do it again just so everybody gets it. Joanne, J-O-A-N-N-L-M-T @gmail.com. And that's LMT, like licensed massage therapist. 407-257-5866 would be one of the best calls you ever made. And on that note, we're going to say goodnight. Thank you very much. And everybody, we've had trouble all year with the outro music. I'm going to try it one more time, see if it works tonight, but I'm not holding my breath, so we might just have to say goodnight. And, yep, we're saying goodnight. Okay, everybody, talk to you soon. See you in 2 weeks. Joanne, we'll have you back. Okay, goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight.